If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 11. Gospel of John, chapter 11. As Brother Colin already mentioned, we had a great service Friday night. Thank you to all who were here and supported that, and just what a wonderful time we had, and all the guests from around Section 5, Jacksonville area. Just a wonderful time. Amen. Thank God for that. John chapter 11, verse 9, Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world." He said, "Are there not 12 hours in the day?" Amen. You may be seated. When Jesus spoke these words, he had just received the message that his friend Lazarus was sick. The Bible tells us that Jesus loved Lazarus and Mary and Martha, his sisters, but that he stayed 2 more days with his disciples in the place where he was when he received the message that Lazarus was sick. The disciples, therefore, would certainly misconstrue the Lord's seeming inactivity, that he did not say immediately, "We must go see Lazarus." They would misconstrue his delay as being more prudent and careful, maybe. For as they are quick to remind him 2 days later that the Jews had recently attempted to stone him there in Bethany where Lazarus lived. So they were amazed when, after a delay of 2 days, Jesus said, indeed did say, "Let us go back to Bethany of Judea." And when they reminded him, as if that was necessary, of that previous attempted stoning and questioned why he would go back, Jesus looked at his disciples, perhaps with a look that they would never forget, and said, "Are there not 12 hours in the day?" And it is this question on which I would like to survey the actions, intentions, and characteristics of our Lord for a few minutes today. A casual reading of the Gospels, and you may not see at first the intensity of purpose by which he lived. Only by intentional and deeper study will you feel the push of his unwavering will. Hand the Gospels to someone who has never read them, knowing nothing of Jesus, and then ask them to describe him based on what they read, and you might get that he was kind. You might hear that, well, he was gentle, he was free, maybe even that he was a wanderer. Some might even compare him to something like a politician who only went around shaking hands and kissing babies. But never was a moment lived by Jesus Christ that was not in accordance with a divine plan. Never was a deed done spontaneously. Never was a word spoken incidentally. Every moment was as if it was the only moment in existence. None of the so-called great paintings of Jesus show the true intensity and determination in his face. But a careful reading of the Gospels, a closer look at his words, and one begins to awake to the drive of a tremendous and increasing purpose. Looking past the stereotype of most illustrations of Jesus, we discern the pressure of a mighty purpose moving without swerving toward its goal. From that hour of his boyhood when he said to Mary and Joseph when they found him in the temple, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" To that hour of triumph on the cross, when he cried with a loud voice, "It is finished," unhurried and unhindered, without flinching and without falter. The face of Jesus was set in one direction. And when we come to the recognition of that purpose, often hidden among the teachings and miracles, we awaken to the intensity and determination of Christ. At first, the disciples hardly recognized his intensity and determination until he set his face steadfastly toward Jerusalem, says Luke 9. Before that, they were always offering suggestions. After that, they offered none. They were amazed and they were afraid. The intensity of Jesus overwhelmed them. At last, they knew his determination of will and were awestruck at the earnestness of Christ. There were many reasons for his intensity and determination. Primarily the goal and climax of his life and purpose, and that is the redemption and salvation of the world at Calvary. Therefore, the present reason of his intensity and determination in our text here in John 11 and 9 was in that seemingly strange answer to his disciples who had reminded him that the Jews had sought to stone him and asked why he would go back to Bethany, which was so close to Jerusalem. And he looked at them and answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day?" Before his incarnation, there had been no concern of his own about the rising or the setting of the sun. A day was as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years was as a day. After his resurrection and ascension, the day was endless, for there is no night there, says Revelation 21:25. But while on this earth, with a mighty work to do and to finish, before his side would be pierced, before a crown of thorns would be pushed into his head, before his back would be ripped open by the whips, before his hands and feet would be nailed to a wooden cross, our Lord was stirred into triumphant intensity and determination by the thought of an appointed time. "I must work the while it is day," he said. "Night is coming when no one can work." Amen. "I must work while it is day." He saw into the near future, the shadow of sunset on his life, and he saw the distant twilight coming upon this earth. A day at its longest, what little space of time it is. 12 hours, and they ring toward the night. It is amazing and wonderful how Jesus Christ, the eternal God incarnate, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, always felt the urgency and the shortness of time. He was keenly aware of the fleeting hours of the day, and too often we are not. More often than not, we silence the sound of time ticking by, but we cannot pause it, and we cannot stop it, even for a moment. Someone once said that most men are afraid to look time in the face, but not Christ. It was as if time was his greatest opponent in the race toward redemption and salvation of the world, much greater than Satan himself. He was moved, Jesus was, by the urgency of hours. Oh, that we would somehow, like our Lord, awaken to that compelling thought and no longer live as if our sun will never set. Amen. "Are there not 12 hours in the day?" he said, "and it will be night before we know it." We must therefore do what God has sent us to do while it is day, and not wait for the fool's fantasy of a distant day. Not only does his question show us the Lord's intensity and determination of purpose and plan, but secondly, it shows us his fearlessness in the threat of his enemies. His disciples again tried to alarm him with the threat of the Jews, saying, Master, the Jews recently tried to stone you, and you're going there again. And it was then to silence their own terror, and with the fearlessness of his future, he asked, are there not 12 hours in the day? What did he mean? Not only did he mean the shortness of time, but secondly, he meant the appointment of time. The dawn and the dusk of the day of his death was fixed. It could not be changed. Nothing could shorten it, and nothing could prolong it. The Jews who hated him had no control over it. Until the appointed time, he could not and would not die. And it was the steadfast sense of the divine appointment which made him so absolutely fearless and strengthened him against every enemy that rose against him in his path of purpose. The Bible says, as it is appointed unto man once to die, amen, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. There are two divine appointments for every one of us according to the scripture, and that is death and judgment. And according to the Master, our times are fixed. And if we are here with a certain work to do, which in the purposes of God must be fulfilled, then neither life nor death can prevent it or prolong it. Amen. But we must remember, there are but 12 hours in the day. And if we live in the will of God, we can stand, amen, and we should, amen, live fearlessly as did the Lord. For there is no safer place on the planet than the perfect will of God. Oh, hallelujah. But there are only 12 hours in the day. And though clouds may darken into storms, they cannot hasten the appointed time. Amen. When the sun sets and it is night. So we must work the works of him who called us. For night cometh when no one can work. One of our greatest mistakes of life is living by time that has not yet come. Living life looking for tomorrow and next week and next month. We must learn from our Lord that the true measurements of life, amen, the true measurement of life is not the duration of it, but the deeds of it. It is not the number of breaths, but the intensity of the breaths we have and take. Oh, hallelujah. It is even not the 12 hours itself, but what we do in the 12 hours that matters. That was the whole point of the Lord's question to his disciples. Are there not 12 hours in the day? If his earthly ministry began according to Jewish tradition at 30 years of age, and he died at the age of 33, then he only had 3 to 3.5 years to do all he came to do. All the teaching, all the healing, all the miracles, all that led to the redemption and the salvation of the world was accomplished in only 3 years. Why? Because every moment mattered to him. Never was an hour spent on idle things. Never was a word wasted. Oh, hallelujah. Every casual encounter was intentional. Every step of his feet was with purpose. Every touch of his hand was with care and compassion. Yes, he rested. Yes, he spent time alone when he could. Yes, he fellowshiped with friends like Lazarus and his sisters and his disciples. But his days, his 12 hours, as he called it, were measured in service and in sacrifice. We might say of him, as we often do of others, he died too young. But his life was not cut short. It was complete. Oh, hallelujah. His work was done, so his hours were abbreviated. And his crown was won earlier than we would suppose it to be. When a person lives in the perfect will of God, it may be that in his love, God abbreviates the hours of that life, and they receive a crown earlier than everyone else hoped they would. Amen? Are there not 12 hours in the day? But no one knows the number of those days. Moments matter. Words matter. Deeds matter. They are the measurements of a life. One more thing we could point out in the Lord's life from our text is that in a life of such untiring labor, there was such an unruffled calm. For a life of such interruption and distraction, he lived it with such calmness. His intensity and determination of purpose and passion, his fearlessness in the threat of enemy and death, was equaled only by the calmness of his peace and grace. Constantly thronged by crowds, constantly harassed by Pharisees, yet he taught and he healed with calm compassion, all the while knowing that there are but 12 hours in the day and I only have so many. To his disciples he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And yet in the depths of that unfathomed peace was the thought of the 12 hours in the day. He was describing the peace of the infilling of his spirit with his disciples while alluding to his soon departure by way of the cross. He continued and said, "You have heard me say to you, I am going away and I'm coming back to you." And with great calmness, fearlessness, and intense determination, he said, "And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. And as the Father has commanded me, so I do." Amen. 12 hours in the day and only so many days. He said, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." And so we must serve God with intense determination, and we must serve God with fearlessness, amen, of enemy, fearlessness of failure, fearlessness of what might come upon this earth, fearlessness of what might come upon yourself, amen, fearlessness of all these things that come against your heart and mind, amen, all these whispers, fearlessness of all of that, and with the calmness of the peace of God's presence, amen. Oh, hallelujah, for we only have so many breaths in every hour, and only 12 hours in a day. And so let us take an example from our Lord, and let us let our moments matter every day. Let our moments matter, amen, in what we do, and let our words be fitly spoken, and let our deeds be diligent. Are there only 12 hours in the day? Oh, hallelujah. In other words, he was saying, "I gotta go. I've got work to do." Amen. He lingered back. Yeah, when he first got the message, he lingered back for 2 days just so that Lazarus would die, so that he could go and do a work there. But when it was time and they tried to hold him back, "Lord, you don't want to go there. Remember what happened last time? Remember they tried to stone you? What's going to happen this time?" There's no telling. But Jesus said, "Are there not 12 hours in the day?" In other words, I've got business to do. I've got a job to do. I've got work to do. And as it was with him, so it is with you and I. Amen. Are there not 12 hours in the day? And are there so many days? Oh, hallelujah. Let our mouths not be silent from prayer. Let our hearts not be absent of worship. Let our hands not be idle of serving. Let our
soul not be empty of His Spirit. Let our bodies be His temple, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Him. And let us do His work while it is day, for there is a night coming when no man can work. Oh, hallelujah.
Psalm 31:15 says, my times are in your hand. My times are in your hand. Only God knows that appointed time. Amen. We don't know the appointed time, but Jesus said, are there not but 12 hours in a day? In other words, you do your work while you have it. Amen. You work while it is today. Oh, hallelujah. It's all right to plan for later. It's all right to plan for some things in the future. That's all good. That's all fine and well. It's good and necessary to plan for retirement, but you never know if it's coming or not. Amen. So Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in a day? You focus on today. Focus on your work today. Amen. Focus on doing right today. Focus on living right today. Focus on prayer today. Focus on worship today. Focus on what I called you to do today. Amen. Focus on your life for me today. Hallelujah. We do not know when our divine appointment is set, but we only know so many hours, or we only have so many hours in the house of God. Amen. We only have so many hours to pray. We don't know what they are, but we only have so many hours. We only have so many hours to serve. Only so many hours to rest. Only so many hours to love others. Only so many hours left for family. Amen? Therefore, we must set our faces toward the goal, toward that prize of the high calling of God, with intense determination and with fearlessness and the calmness of Christ. We must work and we must serve and we must pray and we must worship, sowing while it is season, reaping in God's due time. Oh, hallelujah. Let's stand this morning. After having said, are there not 12 hours in the day? Jesus went on to Bethany and raised Lazarus from the grave. And for the remaining days before the cross, He continued to teach and to heal and to save, laying the foundation for His church. At the cross, His blood was shed for the remission of our sins. By the stripes on His back, we are healed. By His death, burial, and resurrection, we can be forgiven, baptized, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so, based on His words, are there not 12 hours in the day? If you need healing today, there's still time. If you need salvation today, there's still time. Amen. And God said, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Amen. There's still time to repent. There's still time to be baptized, to go down in water in the only saving name of Jesus Christ. And there's still time to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. But there are only so many hours. Amen. Only so many. Oh, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. My prayer for us today is that God would just somehow get a hold of our hearts, stir our soul and spirit. Amen. And speak to us in this sanctuary of the time, the urgency of time. Jesus always spoke of coming soon. He always spoke of such urgency of the hour. Amen. And I pray that we would somehow get a hold of that and just get a revelation and an understanding of what he meant and what he said and his own thoughts, his own approach to time. Oh, hallelujah. If my appointed time is, just say for the sake of math, if my appointed time is 5 years from now, then I have approximately 250 more opportunities to be here on Sunday morning. Amen? But what if my appointed time is Friday? This is it. Amen? Amen. 12 hours in a day, but how many days? So we must work. We must work, we must serve, we must pray, we must worship, we must love God and love others while it is day. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's be who and what he wants us to be while it is day. For night cometh when no man can work. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Thank the Lord, thank the Lord, thank the Lord. And so, while there is still time to repent, still time to pray, still time to be baptized, still time to receive the Holy Ghost, and still time to be healed, I invite us to come. In fact, if you need healing in your body, no matter what it is, if you need healing in your body, I want you to come to this front. On the other hand, if you need salvation, if you need to repent, if you need to be baptized in complete immersion in water, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, I want you to come. If you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost or renewing of the Holy Ghost, I want you to come. Amen. We're going to pray for you and with you. And I believe that there is healing in this place. Amen. I believe that there is healing for bodies, healing for minds, healing for emotions. In this house right here, right now. Healing for families. Amen. In Jesus' name. Healing for relationships. Oh, hallelujah. I invite you to come. Keep coming. Amen. We're going to believe God right here, right now, for miracles, for healing, for help, for divine intervention in every situation and every circumstance. Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord.